I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and I have some opening remarks as you turn there. Two small passages. I will read from there. I'm often reminded at this time of the year that for other Christians and other walks of the Christian faith, which you may agree or not agree with, especially the Orthodox Christians, this is a big week for them when they celebrate the appearing of the star. And one of the things that I read in my recent readings from Martin Luther was the fact that they saw the star by faith. They saw the star by faith. Without faith, those who saw the star would have just thought it was a star. But by faith means that the Holy Spirit had worked in their hearts to see the promise of salvation fulfilled. They looked and said, "He's come. The Savior's here. Let's go see him." So at the beginning of this year too, we as Christians here want to see him anew as an encouragement for our future in his word, which has been given to us forever and ever. And that means even after we die here, we will still be with him, the word of God, forever and ever. And so we begin this new year with three verses from Hebrews chapter 11, the first three, and then our focus will be in particular on verses 8 through 10. And this is now God's word that we need to hear. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then our focus in particular, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So far, the reading of God's word. Facing the future is always by faith. That's the truth. This morning, we want to focus on life's journey, your life's journey, my life's journey, the journey of our church and the church across the world, the kingdom of God everywhere where the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of men, into the new year, the year of our Lord, 2020. Where we are going, how are we going to get there, and where will we end up? Nobody knows except God. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 29:29. You might want to write this down and memorize it. The secret things of God basically are secret. His plan is secret. His will for us is somehow secret in all its extent. But there's enough revealed in his word in order that we may do all his holy will. That's basically what Deuteronomy 29:29 says. And this focus becomes more and more important the older we get. Maybe sometimes you have wondered to yourself as to what is so important about this teaching from the Bible. And what teaching am I talking about, children? I'm talking about predestination. Predestination. I was once asked by the Miracle Channel to come on a show called Insight, hosted by a man named Paul Kadish, who's known as Paul Arthur. And he said, "Pastor Tom, I'd like you to come and be on our radio show," which was an hour long with questions from all over Canada. "And I want you to talk about predestination." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Can you do that?" And I said, "Yes, I can." And he said, "Well, there's no one here that will do that." And I said, "Why?" He said, "They don't believe in that." I said, "They don't." I said, "Everybody believes in it." He said, "But would you come and talk about that?" I said, "I sure will." Do you believe in predestination? And children, what that word means is before you were ever born, you had a destination in the mind of God. He knows where he wants you to go, how he wants you to get there. He knows all about you, and he loves you. Before you ever can even realize how much he loves you. And so before you were ever born, he knew where you would end up after you died on earth. If you believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Because your destiny as a Christian is heaven. You were, as the Bible said, predestined. Pre, meaning before you were ever born, destined to be his, loved by him, and to journey through this life and to be with him. To live in glory with him. Now let me say this. On a more basic note, we all want to know where we are going and where we will end up. When you're little and you're driving in the car and you're going on vacation, and it's especially a good place where you want to go, where you've been before, the main question is, are we there yet? I remember my little brother said that about two blocks down from the driveway, and we were going to New Mexico from Ohio. Are we there yet? It's ingrained in us. We're on a journey. We want to know where we're going. The older we get, the more important the assurance of that gets. And so the teaching from the Bible that explains that, which is the teaching about predestination, is very important as we look forward to the future with hope. And it is summed up from what we hear from the beginning of chapter 11 by the writer to the Hebrews. "And certain of what we do not see." Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is the foundation of all hope, of all blessing. It is more and more what gives us peace as we approach the end of our lives. You see, the reality of our journey in life is quite often very difficult to bear. We grow impatient with all of our circumstances. And we want to know why they haven't resolved themselves. We are resentful when we are not happy like other people are happy around us. The desire to hold on to our material goods is always there. And a weariness with our pilgrimage of faith leads us to many serious spiritual difficulties. And that is why we must live by faith, as Abraham did. We must feed upon the manna from heaven, the Word of God. Or another way to say it is to say it like this. We must believe on the promises of God. We must delight in God's limited love for us, remembering constantly that we are going with him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a hard thing to do, especially when we are suffering with physical pain. Or with emotional distress, or with a hopelessness that seems sometimes to lead to deep spiritual depression. But here is the message that we will see from Abraham's example. And that is, while the trial in this life is happening, and maybe for someone this morning it is a real serious trial, God gives himself to us. Let me say that again. God gives himself to us as our present comfort, as our near companion, as our saving help. And if you were here last night, you heard my brother speak about our comfort in life and in death, is that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives himself to us. And as with all the other examples of the men and women that are given to us in chapter 11, that we read about before we ever come to verse 8, Abraham did not make his pilgrimage alone in this world. No, like you and me, he walked with God. He worshiped God. And he listened to what God said to him. And what he also says to us. He is the great I am. Your shield and your very great reward. And so let us this morning begin to identify ourselves with Abraham and see from him how by faith we are to live right now as he lived, as we walk into the future. And the first point I want to make comes right out of the beginning of our passage when it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. It's already been given. Did you understand that when you read it? That he was to receive. It wasn't that he might receive it. He was to receive it. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He was facing the future by faith, just like you and me. And he was facing it with his own calling in life, with his vocation. Back in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God says, I'll show it to you. God will show it to you. Abraham had a mission, like you and I have a mission. We sometimes call this a vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin verb vocare, which means to call. God speaks to us. He calls out to us. We have a mission. We have a calling in this life, all of us do, right where we live, right in our own relationships, in our families. We see in Abraham that faith acts in response to God's call. It is God who has called each and every one of us to a life of faith. Now, if you want to reference this, you can. If you don't, that's okay. But on page 970, there's actually a definition which talks about what is an effectual calling. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 21. It's a good definition. How does God make his calling effectual in your life? Here's the answer. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, whereby convincing us, first of all, of our sin and misery, and then enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and then renewing our wills or our desires to go and do and be obedient for him. He does persuade and enable us to embrace Christ, who is given to us, freely offered in the gospel. What a definition. Work of the Spirit convincing us that we can't do it. Convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds, renewing our minds and our wills so that we want to do what he wants us to do. We don't know where he wants us to go necessarily or what he wants us to do, but he gives us enough of his will in the Bible so that daily we have what we need. And we want to persuade others. And Christ enables us, as we embrace him, to do this. And I love the last part, freely offered to us in the gospel. Now, it's important for us to realize that Abraham was saved, and that he had the Holy Spirit in his heart. His calling, enlightened by the gospel, the promise of salvation, by the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Same as you and me. Not because there was anything special about him, but by the fact that the Lord first loved him and chose him to be his. He was predestined. And Abraham was not singled out because of his faith. He was singled out because of God's grace. That's different. Sometimes we might think that he was picked because he was a good man. But the Bible says otherwise. Isaiah the prophet says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him." It wasn't because of his faith. It was because of God's grace. His point here, the prophet Isaiah, is that nothing in Abraham's background made him worthy in the eyes of God, apart from God's gracious calling. And listen further. From Joshua. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many." You see, Abraham was not seeking God. He was a pagan idol worshiper when God called him. Paul says it like this in the book of Romans. "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Greeks and Jews, are under sin. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one." Therefore, Abraham was saved just like you and me and everyone else who will be saved. And that is because God seeks us out. It is the Lord that's seeking people out. Is he seeking you out this morning? That is the question you must ask yourself. It's not the other way around. Faith is our response to the calling of God, a call that is put upon our hearts by God's grace alone. In the same way God called Abraham, God calls all who become his children. God comes to us when we are hopelessly lost in sin. And this is a fact for every human being in the world, whoever lived now and forevermore, and for every Christian. Our calling in life is to answer God's call when it comes to us by grace alone. And the response can only be by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And this call takes effect when the gospel is preached. Period. We face the future by faith. with our own vocation or with our God-given calling in life? By faith, Abraham, when called, obeyed and went. Now that is the first step, which is the call to faith. As a Christian, you have a call, but that is not all. A calling is always followed by how to live, how you walk, and what you do with it. Which brings me to my second point. By faith, we face the future believing in God's promise. In verse 9 of our passage, it says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And this is really, brothers and sisters, where the rubber meets the road. Here we have a picture of our life on earth. And for you and I, that means that we have promises from God. Promises that belong to us right now. But by and large, right now, these are promises from which we have no results in our life experience because we haven't been there yet. We haven't seen how these promises will work themselves out in our lives. You know, Stephen in the book of Acts preached a sermon in which he said about Abraham, yet God gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. I can't imagine. We have to think that out for a minute. Let's review for a minute as we think. Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him this call to go live in tents. Don't put down roots. Just follow me. Could you do that? Abraham was 75 years old when he got the call, and almost 25 years later, when he was almost 100, he still had no child that God promised him by his wife, Sarah. Still, no settling down in the promised land, still living in tents, still wandering, traveling, going in a direction with a calling, but no results. Walking with God, talking with God, going through periods of spiritual drought with God, having nothing but a prayer and a promise. Have you been there? You see, for most of us, living the Christian life is not one of receiving the promises that God gives us in some tangible form. Faith is being sure of what is hoped for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Living by faith. We live the Christian life believing in the promises in spite of the fact of all the hardship. And we believe in the promises because we receive them by faith. Living as Abraham did out of confidence and reliance on God and his promises by faith. From beginning to end, the Christian life is one of faith, not one of sight. And it is right here that I want to address something which I have addressed before. And within this lesson from Hebrews, it is so important because we are so prone to saying, God helps those who help themselves. Or God gave us good minds, and it's up to us to use them. God gave us hands, God gave us a will, and of course, in one sense, that is all true. But the Bible never means merely God helps those who help themselves. What the Bible really says is that God blesses those who are helpless in sin, and he helps them by his grace. He helps those by grace through faith in the promises. And that mainly means in the promises of salvation in Jesus Christ. God helps those who walk with him. God helps those who talk with him. God helps those who worship him. And God helps those who work through him. And that is the only way we can live. The only way. The only way we can live that pleases the Lord. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We say, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, Jesus Christ. You see, being a pilgrim in this life and walking in the promises means that we do not love the things of the world. As Paul says, even though you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are from above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on these things that are above, not on the things of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And so what I am saying here is that the Bible teaches that you need to have a heavenly perspective on your life. You have to understand that you have been predestined to go to heaven, and you're not there yet. The promise is to you this morning, and the promise is in the gospel. And maybe you need to assess how tightly you are holding on to your earthly things. The Apostle John said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides and lives with him forever. You know, for some people, including myself sometimes, you can preach this from the Bible until you are blue in the face. But this is where the real Christian life is truly challenged, and it will be for you this year. Are you holding on to the promises of God, or are you holding on to what you see, to what you have? Because the lesson here is that Abraham could only have been walking according to his calling, and that's all. And living according to the promises of God, that's all. By faith of being sure of what he hoped for and certain of the things he did not see for a long time. Because it's by faith that we face the future. Being called by God as his people in our different lives, walking by the promises, by faith and not by sight, to God's city. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We're living in the already as citizens of heaven, but not yet. You know, sometimes we tend to look at these men from Genesis or these men in the Bible in the Old Testament as sort of a primitive kind of people with a primitive kind of faith, or maybe even having some kind of very simple comprehension of what faith really involves. But it is clear from our scripture this morning that Abraham possessed a real sense of where he stood because he was looking forward. He had a heavenly perspective. He was firmly set, moving in God's kingdom toward the future and receiving what was promised to him on a day-by-day basis, living in a tent, taking it down, putting it back up. In the future generations of Isaac and Jacob, the same, counting on God for their food, for what they ate, being at the mercy of nature and the weather. How many times do you think he looked out from his tent and said, Lord, when will I get to settle down? When will I know peace in this life and have rest from my wanderings? You see, there is a picture here, a big picture, a picture of a journey, a picture of how life truly is moving. How we are on a pilgrimage as Abraham was on a pilgrimage, and we only truly set down roots when we get to the root of our salvation in heaven, who is Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian is willing to forsake the present glory, comfort, and satisfaction of this world for the future glory that is in Christ alone. In contrast to the buy now, pay later attitude, you and I must be willing to pay now and receive it later. And what will make you willing to make such sacrifices that are necessary for this. There is one word that will make you willing to do it, and that is hope. And what is that? But faith that looks out to the future and the uncertainty of what the Lord has in store for us. Hope and a promise that Jesus will come back for us. Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us." That is how Abraham lived by faith for a long time in a land that was not his own. For he was looking forward. He had hope to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's where the truth is, right there. If you and I are going to persevere in this Christian life, then we must fix our eyes on that city, because that is our home. That is our destination. That is where we are going. That is where we belong, even though from day to day we might not fully see it or understand what lies ahead. Like the Apostle John in the book of the Revelation, we must, by faith, be taken away to a mountain great and high to see Jerusalem the golden coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewel. And John tells us, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it life. And the Lamb of God is its lamp. There flows the river of the water of life, beside which grows the tree of life." And John's vision of heaven ends with these words, "And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. In the throne of God and of the Lamb of God, they will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night there. They will not need the lamp, the light of a lamp, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." You see, as citizens of heaven, this is where we belong. If you trust in Christ as your Savior, and you must live in that sense as if you have already taken possession of it. This is where Jesus is leading us if we follow him. That is the inheritance that we finally received by living the life of faith, by responding to the Lord when he calls us, by being upheld and sustained by this vision that we daily see in our hearts and minds. And because of that, that is living by being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, then we have a present hope for the future that is certain if we live by faith in 2020. Even though what we experience today may be a struggle, for a life that is secured by faith in worshiping God, walking with God, working for God, and looking forward and hoping in God, there are better things with God that were predestined for us. That is, for those who believe in him for all eternity. My prayer for you this year is that 2020 will be a blessing, and that you will see God's hand in it, no matter what happens. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 159 together.